It's Matt Katz here filling in on The Takeaway. And here we are. It's the end of August, and maybe you're looking to squeeze in a little more time on the beach before the end of the summer. I've already been down to the Jersey Shore with my family because there is nothing like running in and out of the surf and riding some waves in the Atlantic. All I had to worry about was some jellyfish, maybe seaweed getting tangled on my legs. It's not like I had to concern myself with sharks or anything. They're not in the New York, New Jersey area, right?
The short answer is they're everywhere. They're widespread along the whole South Shore of Long Island based on our tracking data and catch records. Right from just the mouth of the Hudson River all the way out to Montauk. It seems like they're spending most of their time a mile or so off the beach. So they definitely make runs in very close to shore, depending on where their food is. And that's what these sharks are doing out there. They're following their food.
That's Toby Curtis, Fishery Management Specialist for the National Marine Fisheries Service.
The sharks are there. You might even be within, 20 feet of a shark at some point. You'd never know that they were there because they're there looking for fish. And so occasionally they do come close to shore, but generally they're sort of beyond the range of where people are swimming. There's really very little risk for people going swimming at the ocean beaches.
Very little risk, says Toby Curtis. And his colleague, veterinarian Harley Newton, tells me any fear of sharks that we may have is misplaced.
I grew up in an era that was post-Jaws, and I think Everyone's typical response to that was to be afraid of them, and all I wanted to know was how you became Hooper.
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine, an eating machine. All this machine does is swim and eat and make little sharks, and that's all.
And I think I used my veterinary degree in order to really achieve that, and I felt really fortunate when Toby invited me to be a part of his project and look at the health of this juvenile white shark population off the coast of New York.
Harley is the head of aquatic health for the Wildlife Conservation Society at the New York Aquarium. She's part of a team led by Toby Curtis conducting field research on this juvenile white shark population in the waters around New York City. I spoke to them both about their passion for these sharks and what led them to this field of work.
White sharks have sort of been a lifelong fascination of mine, and I read that there was sort of a number of small white sharks have been documented off the coast of Long Island going back to the 1960s, and it's sort of been suspected that there may be a nursery area there for white sharks. I moved back to the Northeast and had this opportunity to start fishing with another college friend of mine, Greg Metzger from the South Fork Natural History Museum. And we were just sort of like, hey, we know these little white sharks are in the area, but no one's really taken a hard look at them from a scientific perspective. No one's tried to tag them yet and understand what they're doing here and when they're here and some of the real basic questions. So we started putting a project together and we were able to get some tags out. And fortunately, over the last few years, we've had a lot of success and we've learned a great deal about the juvenile white sharks that occur off Long Island.
And people might not be aware that the waters around New York are teeming with oceanic life. Can you tell us a little bit about the area, Toby?
There's abundant marine life off New York, and it's really kind of fascinating. We're right in the shadows of New York City and millions of people, but the ocean is a healthy and vibrant place. So there's a lot of marine life from some sort of the base of the food chain, your forage, bait fish, things like bunker and mackerel. They're doing really well now. And when you have that abundant prey, it brings a lot of the predators back too. So sharks and dolphins and whales and tunas and things like that. So people that spend time in the water, they're seeing this sort of increase in the marine life, just in general, in the whole New York region.
And the increase in white sharks specifically, is the population of white sharks growing elsewhere or is it really specific to this area?
Sort of coast-wide, we have some evidence that the white shark population is increasing. During the 1970s and 1980s, there was an overfishing problem, and the population declined along with many other sharks along the U.S. coast. But since the 1990s, we've had various fisheries management regulations put in place, and a number of shark populations appear to be responding and rebuilding. The white sharks, they've been here all along, and the data we're collecting now will sort of help enhance those conservation and fisheries management goals.
Harley, as a veterinarian, why are you excited about working with white sharks?
Similar to Toby, it was always a lifelong dream to work with sharks. They're such an iconic species. There's so many people doing great research on them. Never would have thought I would have had the opportunity to actually work with them. I still remember the very first day I ever saw a white shark, and every single one since then has been special.
And how old are these sharks? You said these are juvenile white sharks. So how old are they?
Most of the ones that we're working on are young of the year, so within the first year of their life. We've had a few more recently that were slightly older than that.
And how big is the animal? I'm trying to envision this. How big is the shark?
So these guys, the young of the year, they're actually quite small.
Uh-huh.
But they look like perfect miniatures of the adults. I'll always remember the first time I ever saw one because I was so struck by how they are just proportionately just like somebody shrunk.
Wow.
A giant gray white shark. I'd say they're between like 130 centimeters is the smallest that we've probably done. They weigh around like 100 pounds to 170 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
They're not big.
Is there something unique about working with a shark at that life cycle as opposed to fully grown shark?
From a health perspective, it's a really important baseline to have.
Yeah.
You know, what we're really interested in looking at when we're looking at the health of populations is what normal is.
Sure.
So we're looking for blood counts, chemistry values, the kind of stuff that when you go to the doctor and get your blood drawn, you take for granted the fact that they know what those numbers mean. We're still really working on that in sharks. So being able to study this juvenile population that's pretty much naive to sort of all of the different possible environmental stressors or other disease processes, it just makes them really important.
And so, Toby, for this project, you get this team together and you go out on a boat and you just start looking for sharks. Tell us what this work is like. How do you find them? Are they difficult to catch?
So in short, yes, they are difficult to catch. It takes a lot of effort to sort of catch these juvenile white sharks. But we've been at it for, you know, several years now. We've sort of fine-tuned where to look and kind of, you know, match the water conditions and look for the food. And, you know, we think we find a good spot. We can get on the sharks relatively quickly. And it's been a learning process over the last several years to fine tune that.
And then what happens when you catch one? You bring them onto the boat and then what happens?
The sharks that we're handling now, we're generally working them up over the side of the boat. So they stay in the water.
Oh, okay.
So we hook them, we reel them in as quickly as we can to reduce the stress on them. They're sort of secured to the side of the boat. And then once they're secure, we can sort of get the shark to calm down, and then we can take all of our samples and attach tags. Harley and others can draw the blood. So we try to do a quick workup that takes, you know, usually 5 to 10 minutes or so while the shark is alongside the boat. Then we unhook it and send it on its way, and then wait for the data to come back to us. And what we're really trying to do now is get a better handle on sort of high resolution movements of what these fish are doing when they're cruising the Long Island coastline.
Toby, ultimately, what are you hoping to see from this research? What kinds of questions are you hoping this data will lead you to ask?
Yeah, so ultimately for me, it's getting a better handle on the ecology of the juvenile white sharks and other species in the area off Long Island. We want to get a handle on their role in the ecosystem and just understand the sort of habitat patterns of the sharks. What kind of depths do they like to swim in? What kind of temperatures do they prefer? And with that information, we can share that data with fisheries managers and decision makers and ocean resource managers. And just, you know, when they're looking to study the impacts of human activities in the region, we can share that data and say, hey, look, you know, maybe this is going to have some impact on the white shark population. So it has to do with the fisheries, ocean resource use, like offshore energy development, things like that, as well as climate change in the long term. The data we collect is very interesting from just a strictly ecological standpoint, but also has conservation implications in the long term.
Harley Newton is a veterinarian and the head of aquatic health for the Wildlife Conservation Society, and Toby Curtis is a fishery management specialist for the National Marine Fisheries Service. Thank you to you both, and enjoy the sharks.
Thanks very
so
much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.